So here's what we're going to do today. We're in part three of a mini-series that we started 2 weeks ago. And here's the key verse for our mini-series. It's in James 1:19, where James, who is he? He's the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine having Jesus as your brother? Well, James is the half-brother. He's also a leader in the church in Jerusalem. He's also writing a letter, and in the letter he's saying, hey, this is what Christian conduct, Christian character, Christian living should look like. And right away in chapter 1, verse 19, he says, everyone, meaning every believer, should be a person who is quick to listen, slow to speak. So if you could do me a favor this morning, if we could say that together with some conviction, everyone together. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So here's our journey 2 weeks ago was week one. And we looked at the very first part of that verse where it says, everyone should be quick, very quick to listen. Remember, God's only given you one mouth, but he's given you what? Two ears. So we want to be quick to listen, quick to listen. And we talked about the five levels of listening. And level five was this being an empathic listener. An empathic listener not only listens with their ears, but they look the person in the eye. They get engaged, they ask questions, and they also, more importantly, they listen with their heart, meaning that they're emotionally involved with the other person. If that person's rejoicing, they rejoice. If that person's mourning, they mourn. They're an empathic listener. Because here's what we believe. We believe that if the quality of your listening increases, the quality of every relationship in your life will increase. The quality of listening increases, the quality of the relationship increases. And how many people know that when your relationships increase, the quality of your life will increase also? Because why? God built us for relationships. And we're in the best zone, we're in the sweet spot when we're in healthy relationships. We're listening. That's when life is the fullest. Life's not the best when you have more money in your wallet or a bigger house or a bigger car. And no, it's when you have people, relationships that are healthy. And one of the keys to healthy relationships is you're a listener. You're listening carefully. You're quick to listen to what other people are saying. Then last week was week two, and we talked about being slow to speak. Everybody together, slow to speak. And if you were here with us last week, we looked at James chapter 3, and we looked at the first 12 verses, and it's in those verses James talks about the power of the tongue. He talks about something very small can cause big damage. He compares it to a little spark that can cause a great forest fire, and he says your tongue is the same way. Your tongue is only about 4 inches in length. It has 8 muscles that never get tired. And by the way, it's your tongue, something small that can wreck everything in your life. Actually, most of us have been formed. All of us have been formed by the words that people have said about us, over us, and directly to us. So words are very, very powerful. And by the way, if you haven't been here the last 2 weeks or one of the last 2 weeks, these messages are on the website, and they're very practical messages that make a big difference in our walk with God and our relationships with others. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk more today about the positive use of our tongue. Last week was kind of dwelling on the negative. Be careful, use it the right way. Today we're going to show you the right way to go about using your tongue. The Bible gives us direction of how we should use our tongue in a way that is very positive for other people. So here's what we're going to do. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you, or the Bible in the rack right in front of you, begin to look for the New Testament book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, it's a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. So he's writing a letter to people just like us, Christian people who have said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And he's going to show us how we can use our tongue in a positive way. So look for chapter 4, and we're going to pick up our reading today in verse 17. So everybody, I want to hear Bible pages turning. Maybe you're on your phone. That's fine. Make sure you keep it to use of the Bible today at this moment. And let's look. Heather is going to come. So Heather, if you'll come this morning, I want you to have a microphone so it's nice and loud, nice and clear. And let's have Heather join, and she's going to read this passage for us. So everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. Okay, here we go.
Ephesians 4, 17 through 29. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Okay. Heather, thank you for the reading of God's word. I need to set some foundation here. In this passage that Heather just read, Paul, who is the writer, wants the reader, primarily Christian people, Christ followers, he wants them to understand something really, really important. And I want you to just to lean in real hard here and just listen, because this is something that I want you to hear also today that's very, very important. So Lord, give us ears to hear right now what your Spirit would want to say to us. So here's something very important. He wants the reader to understand that after a person makes a decision to follow Jesus, meaning at one time, obviously, they weren't a Christian. Then one day they heard the good news, the gospel. They repented of their sins. They put their faith in Christ. Now they became a Christ follower. He says, after that person makes a decision to follow Jesus, listen carefully, their life should begin to look different. I want everybody to hear that. After you place your faith in Jesus Christ, at that beginning, there's this process. It's called sanctification. It doesn't happen immediately. Your salvation, justification, happens instantaneously. But how many people know sanctification, it's a process. It takes time. It's maturity. But he's saying, hey, after you've come to Christ, you should begin to live a different lifestyle. Your life should begin to look different. Things should be different than they were before. Because he makes it very clear in other parts of this same book, or in the book of Galatians, actually, he says, hey, before you became a Christian, you were born with what is called an old sinful nature. I want everybody to hear that. Before you became a Christ follower and you repented of your sins and you placed your faith in Jesus as the Savior of your life, before that time, you had what is called an old sinful nature. But when you asked Jesus to come into your life, instantaneously, the Bible talks about that old sinful nature is replaced by what is called a new nature. You get this new nature within. And Paul says in these verses that this new nature is that we are created to be like God. So you got this new nature, and the whole goal of this new nature is God wants you to become more like him. He wants you to become more like Jesus. So we're not to continue to live as we did before we came to Christ. There should be a different lifestyle. So everyone who understand that, just say, I got it. So do I need to go over it again? I'm not convinced that everybody said, I got it. So everybody, one more time, say, I got it. So after you come to Christ, your life, not instantaneous, no one's going to change overnight. Some people change quicker than others. I don't understand the whole process, the work of the Holy Spirit, but there should at least be a gradual change. I don't look the same as I used to be. And I know there's a lot of people who are visual learners, so I'm going to give you a visual illustration, okay? So go back to verse 22. In verse 22, Paul writes that we are to throw off our old sinful nature, okay? So I'm going to move this microphone, and I found the most raggedy coat in my closet, okay? This is a coat that was actually given to me as a White Elephant gift exchange coat years ago, and my kids and my family just keep saying, throw that coat away, and I'm like, no, I like that coat, okay? So anyway, this coat, I'm going to put it on this morning, okay? And this coat represents my old nature. And here's what Paul instructs us to do in verse 22. He says we are to what? Everybody together. We're to throw off our old nature, our former way of living, which has been corrupted. So Paul's saying in this passage that as a Christian, you are to what? You are to throw off your old nature, okay? And the throw off in the Greek actually means you're to take it, and not only just throw it off, you're to take it to the dump. For us, it would mean it's almost like you're taking it to the end of the curb so the garbage man can pick it up and take it away. So that's what Paul's point is. We're to throw off that old nature. I want you to see that. Take off that old nature you were born with. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Don't live that way anymore. And then what does he say later in the text? He says in verse 24, now what we're to do is we're to put on the new nature. And by the way, this is, I think, the nicest coat I have. At least I think so. I'm not everyone, but here we go. You're to put on the new nature. And the new nature is this, that we are basically, we're to be more and more like God. So here's the problem that happens a lot, okay? I'm just going to be very honest with you. Here's the problem that happens a lot. A lot of people have what is called the old nature, and what they try to do is they try to add the new, and it's not going to work. This is what a lot of people do. They try to add the new to the old, and we walk around. We got a new nature, but we want to hold on to the old nature. We want to hold on to some of the old ways of life. And Paul's saying that's not how it works. We're not to add to, but Paul makes it very clear that you're supposed to take off. Everybody just say it together. Take off the old nature, and you're supposed to throw it away. And then what you're to do is you're to take on the new nature. You're to put on, this is going to drive me crazy today. We're to put on the new nature, okay? So this is what it's to look like. I'm not supposed to be wearing my old coat. I'm not supposed to be living the old way. I'm supposed to be living the new way, okay? Does everybody understand that so far? What happens a lot of times, we like to add them together, put them together, okay? And then if you look at your text, beginning in verse 25, Paul begins to give us some application of what this looks like, okay? First of all, he's saying, hey, if you're telling lies, by the way, how many people know that telling lies is a part of what nature? The old nature, this ugly black coat. That's the old nature. And Paul's saying, hey, if you're a liar, he says, put that off, stop telling lies. And what he tells us to do is he says, hey, put on the new nature and begin to tell the what? The truth. So don't, you can't add the two, you got to put it off so you can put on. And then you go down to verse 26, he says, if you're a person that's continually controlled by your anger, you're angry. Your anger causes problems. How many people know that? What nature is that a part of? It's a part of your old sinful nature. And Paul says, hey, put off that you're angry. And he says, hey, now don't let anger, put on the new nature where you don't allow anger to control your life, okay? And then I love verse 28. He says, hey, if you're a thief, hopefully there's no thieves in this room, but if you're a thief, how many people know what nature is that? It's your old nature. He says, hey, if you're a thief, throw it off, put it off. And I love what he says here. He goes into more detail here. He says, if you're a thief, put on the new nature. And the new nature is get a job. The new nature, somebody like that one. The new nature is, he says, begin to work hard. Stop stealing. Begin now with the new nature. You're going to be a hard worker. And here's the second part. He adds more to it. I love that he adds more to it. He says, and then after you've worked hard and you've received your pay for working hard, look what he says here. The new nature says, and then give generously to others in need. How many people know what he's saying here is generous giving is a part of what? The old or the new? The new. So So when we take on and we put on the new, we're generous. We work hard. God gives us resources. And then we take those resources and we use them where we need to in our lives. We pay the bills. But also what we do is we give generously. We give generously. That's new nature living as people who give generously. And then look at verse 29. Okay, verse 29. Verse 29, Paul's going to begin to address our subject this morning. He's going to begin to address our tongue. So let's take a closer look at the passage one last time. Verse 29, that's your verse. By the way, I highly suggest, how many people, if you're into scripture memorization, I would encourage you to memorize this scripture. Memorizing this scripture might help you in the long run, big time. So let's look at the verse. This time we're going to read it out of the NIV. Heather read it out of the New Living. We're going to read it out of the NIV. Paul says this. He says, hey, don't let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful. Everybody say helpful. For building others up according to their needs, and may it benefit those who listen. So there's the verse we're going to focus on. There's the verse we want you to memorize, Ephesians 4:29. Great verse to have in your mind so that it sinks in your heart. But from this verse, I want to look at three observations, and I want you to write these three observations down concerning the use of your words. Concerning the use of your words, that's what we're talking about. First, he says this, our words are to be positive, not negative. So let's all repeat that together. Our words are to be positive and not negative. So he begins in that very first part of that verse by talking about negative. Negative words. What are negative words? He says, negative words, he says, is what he calls unwholesome talk, unwholesome words. He says, don't use unwholesome words. Don't let those things come out of your mouth, okay? So what is unwholesome talk? We don't use that word too much anymore. What is unwholesome talk? Unwholesome talk is when we use words that do three things. These are, by the way, negatives. We don't want to talk this way. Unwholesome talk is when we demean other people with our words. We demean them. That means that we communicate to the other person that, hey, you don't really matter. We communicate in one way or another that they don't really matter. That's unwholesome talk. By the way, how many people know that everyone matters to God? Amen? Every person is created in the image and the likeness of God. So we better not be using demeaning words where we demean other people because they matter to God. Unwholesome talk also includes when we use, it degrades the other person. It degrades the other person. This is when we communicate to others that they don't make the grade. You just don't make it. You don't measure up as though we are the standard that everybody should be living by. How many people know we're not the standard? God's the standard. Amen? And I want to let you know that it's only by God's grace that we all measure up to his standard through Jesus Christ. Unwholesome talk would also be language that disrespects other people. That's when we communicate to others that they are not worthy of our respect. So Paul says, hey, don't use unwholesome words. Don't demean others. Don't degrade others. Don't disrespect others. Come on, guys, let's clean up. Let's not use our mouth in a negative way. Because all three of those things are negative. They're unwholesome talk. They tear people down. They leave us. They're not built up. They're torn down, okay? So then what he does, by the way, all three of those, is that old coat or new coat living? Old coat living. That's what old people wearing old coats, that's how they talk. They demean, they degrade, they disrespect. They demean, they degrade. That's old coat living. But he says, hey, put on the new. And in the new, he says, hey, you got to be positive. Positive, okay? And by the way, I love the word that he uses here. He had a lot of words that he could choose of ways we could be positive. But I want you to hear the word he uses. And this is where I really want to zero in this morning. He says, may your words be helpful. Can everybody say helpful together? He says, may your words be helpful. I find it amazing the word that Paul chooses to use here. And I really hope for the next 2 minutes that you buy into what I'm going to say. How many people know that helpful words are words that help other people? Everybody say, duh. But I'm going to take it one step further. Helpful words are words that help people become the best that they can be. When you're using your words so that others can be the best that they can be built up, they can be more like God. And I want to let you know, sometimes helpful words will come very, very easy. It will just be easy for you to say nice, helpful things to people, okay? And it's going to come across very, very nice. You're going to be Minnesota nice, okay? But here's what I want you to hear. I want everybody to listen carefully. There's going to be times when you're called to use helpful words, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult to share what you have to say. Does that make sense? There's going to be times where people may say, well, you're awful mean for saying that. But how many people know it? The word uses, Paul doesn't say, hey, use nice words. He says, use words that are helpful. Use words that are helpful. I want you to get that. There's times that you got to say difficult things to people that they may not want to hear, but it's going to be very helpful for them in the future. Is this making sense? It's going to be very helpful. This is what I know about every single one of us here today. We have a blind spot. Every person in this room, you have a blind spot. Everybody else sees it but you. And Paul's saying, hey, we need to use our words to be helpful. So what would it be like if you have a blind spot, and you do, and somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, do you realize this is your blind spot? Do you realize this is a weakness? Do you realize that everybody else sees this, but you don't see that? That's helpful words. You're using your words to be helpful, because there's a lot of people heading on roads of destruction, and we could be nice, and we could violate being helpful. All I'm saying is there's a time where it's difficult, but you got to be helpful, because... And here's what the motive should be when you share helpful words. The motive should be, I'm here because I love you. I'm here today because I come with tenderness and sensitivity. I'm here today because my motive is not to hurt you, but my motive is to help you. And I want to let you know there's a right time to say things that people may not want to hear. But there's times where you got to say things that are going to be helpful for them. Helpful for them. And I want to let you know, I'm horrible in this area. I'd rather be nice so that everybody likes me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But I see people in my life, and I see that they're participating in destructive behavior. I see them allowing destructive behavior even in their homes and in their families. And my fault a lot of times is that I just come up, and I'm this nice guy. I want everybody to like me. But Paul's saying, hey, your words really should be helpful, Mike. If you really love that person, you may have to say some things that are unpopular and hurtful, but you do it with the motive of speaking the truth with what? With love. You do it with sensitivity and tenderness because you love them so much that you know that if they continue on this path that they're on, it's not going to end well. So there's a time, everyone, that we speak helpful words. Paul said, use your words to be helpful, man. Lead people. Instruct people. Be a part of the solution, not the problem, okay? Which leads right into number two, okay? And that is, our words are to build others up. Everybody, let's read that together. Our words are to what? Our words are to build others up. Okay, I want you to know this. Every single time you have a conversation with someone, there's going to be three different results occur from every conversation. The first one result is this: your words can tear that person down. Do you know that? Your words can tear that person down, meaning after they have had a conversation with you, they're worse off than they were before having a conversation. I want to make it clear, God's goal is to build people up. Does everybody hear that this morning? God is into building people up. God loves building people up. God wants people to see who they are in Christ. God wants people to see what they can truly be. God's goal is to build people up. But we come in conversation, and the danger in conversation is we can be used to tear people down. So instead of us building them up, they're down. And God's goal is to build people up. And we got to be careful that we're not using our words to tear people down. There's a second thing that happens in conversation, and that is what I just call a neutral result. Nothing really happens. That means all you talked about was the weather. Wasn't the weather beautiful this week? Or all you do is you talk about sports. How about those Steelers? Did they really take it to him on Thursday night or what? Okay? So you can have these conversations to tear down. You can have these conversations that it's just neutral. Nothing great is really accomplished. You just kind of shared words and airspace together. Or you can use your words, number three, to do what? To build people up. And that's what Paul's saying, how we should be using our tongue as we put on this new nature. The new natured believer, when they have conversations with people, they build them up. Meaning that after they have spent time together, that person feels really, really good. They begin to believe that they have a special place in God's economy. And I want to encourage you, we are called to build one another up. So here's my challenge. Is everybody ready for a challenge this morning? Say, you betcha. Here we are. I want to challenge each of us, myself included, to be more intentional, to have conversations that build others up. So here's my challenge. You're going to have a lot of conversations. You're going to begin this whole process even today. And I want to challenge you to make the goal of every conversation not to tear down, not to stay neutral, but make it the goal of every single conversation you have to say, hey, I'm going to use this conversation today as an opportunity to build the other person up. Meaning I'm going to make my time, I'm going to make it more meaningful for that other person. Could you imagine with me what our lives would look like if we really begin to say, God, every conversation, no to tear down, yes to build up. No to tear down, even if I don't agree with them, but I'm going to build them up in some way or another. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to be helpful. And I just want to challenge you this week, stop just living mindlessly and begin to live intentionally and go out every conversation with your spouse, every conversation with your children, every conversation with anyone that you come in contact with. Could it be that God wants to use you this week multiple times? Could it be that God wants to use you to say, hey, I really want to build that person up. Can I trust you? Can I use you to be a person that will build the other person up? Could you imagine what that would look like? Your life would be a lot of fun. Amen? How many would agree your life would be a lot of fun? So I want to encourage you. Is anybody up for the challenge? Say, I am. About half of you. Anybody else want to join in? How many people are up for the challenge? Say, I am. We need to wrap this up. So we use our words to build others up. Paul says, hey, that's the new way. The old way, all it was about tearing people down. That's old sinful nature. That's garbage. That's not who you are in Jesus. That's not your new nature. Your new nature is build, build, build. Your words are actually like a construction site. Every conversation is a construction site. And your tools on that construction site to build up are your words. Are you going to build something great or are you going to tear it down? We're going to build, okay? So here's the third observation we need to wind up here this morning. That is, our words are to benefit others. Everybody just say that last word together. One, two, three. Others. 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 It doesn't say that we are to benefit ourselves in our conversations. The purpose of our conversation is to benefit the other person, meaning it's not about you, it's about the other person. Has everybody got that this morning? Look at this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in Philippians. Paul says, hey, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So the whole point of our conversation is we want to benefit the other person. We're putting ourselves second. We're putting ourselves in the passenger seat, and we're saying it's all about you. What can I do for you in this conversation? How can I help you? How can I build you up? Paul's saying that's what the new nature conversations, the use of the tongue looks like, is when you begin to make it about others, building others up. So the challenge this week is simple. In your conversations, in the use of your tongue, what nature are you going to submit to? Are you going to submit to the old nature? Are you going to use your tongue for the old nature, or are you going to use your tongue in the new nature? Are you going to build other people up? So here's my closing thought, closing question. Ask yourself this question right now. Why don't we just bow our heads? Are you using your words to build others up? Just ask yourself that question. Am I using my words to build others up? So let's just sit here in silence. Let's just allow God to speak to us. How am I using my words? Are my words helpful? Are my words building others up? Are my words benefiting the other party? Are you using your words to build others up? I got a guarantee for you. The guarantee is this: you're going to have ample opportunity this week. You're going to have ample opportunities this week. Ample opportunities this week to build people up, to lift them up. It's powerful. The use of our tongue is powerful. Just saying, hey, you're wonderful. Hey, I believe in you. Hey, I love you. You're going to use your tongue today to build people up. So, Father, we just commit our week to you as we go into a new week. There's going to be ample opportunities to use our tongue, either negative or positive. God, may we choose right now that we're not going to live by that old nature. We're not going to allow our tongue to speak according to the old nature. But we're going to allow our tongue to speak with this new nature. As we put on this new nature, we're going to show that as evidence. The evidence will be that we're going to speak life. Proverbs says life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. In the power of tongue. So Lord, I pray that we would choose to speak words that give life, not death. Words that speak encouragement. Words that when the other person leaves after our conversation, they feel built up, encouraged. They feel like, wow, I feel good. So Lord, help us, we pray. And let's close this morning in a word of prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.